Tom Horden.
Mm-hmm. And you come from Castle Island?
I come, yes, from Inch Tullig. So I'm not too far from the town, but yeah, I come here every Thursday.
Mm-hmm. And do you like it?
I look forward to it very much.
Yeah. And you have a poem for us today,
I
don't you?
I have one that was written by the late Eugene Mara, that well-known popular choral poet. Mm-hmm. It was called The Lep Doody Road.
Mm-hmm. Will you read it for us?
Yeah. On one cold Monday morning, as the day was dawning, we went to Lep Doody to make a bog road. Through fields of green rushes and cottage of bushes and the ancient old ruins of Tyeen Shaun Oaks. Oh, the names of our dolemen are Jack Han and Lacey. And Lacey dressed up like the bell of a ball, with a big soldier's coat he got from Ger Nolan. They say it was a gift from the St. Vincent de Paul. The names of our doormen is Jack Han and Lacey, Cronin and Mara, and Jones's McKean, O'Riordan and Tehan, Con Inright and Cairn, the Quarryman, Balden and Saoirse Pardeen. You'd pity the face of poor Lacey the smith, the blacksmith, as he tramped the long road to the exchange in Tralee. He kissed his fond wife, saying, "Don't worry, poor Maggie, we'll write to Fred Crowley, our local TD." Off went poor Maggie to the town of Killarney, from that to Dane's Fort to Crowley's abode. She told him she saw on her way coming towards him some perished poor doormen that worked on the road.
Excellent. Thank you, Tom. Why did you pick that poem?
Actually, I got it here even though I heard of it, I suppose, 60 or 70 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. I used to... It's very old, I'd imagine. It would be probably in the 40s, the late 40s, and I would imagine anyway. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for reading.
Not at all. You're very welcome.
Mary Griffin.
Mary, and where do you come from?
I come from Gortaclay. Mm-hmm. That's near Tralee, 7 miles from Tralee.
Fantastic. And you have a poem for us today.
Well, that's just a little. Up the airy mountain, down the rushing glen, we daren't go hunting for fear of little men. We folk, good folk, trooping all together, green jacket, red cap, and white owl's feather. Down along the rocky shore, some made their home. They lived on crispy pancakes of yellow-tide foam. Some in the reeds on the bank, black mountain lake, with the fogs for their watchdogs all night awake. High on the hilltop, the old king sits. He is now so old and grey, he's nigh lost his wits. With a bridge of white mist, Columbkill he crosses on his stately journey from Sleaford to Rosses, or going up to the music on a cold starry nights to sit with the Queen on the northern gay lights. They stole little Bridget for 7 years long. When she came back again, her feet were all gone. They took her lightly back between the night and morrow. They thought she was fast asleep, but she was dead with sorrow. They kept her ever since deep within the lake on a bed of fig leaves, watching till she wake by the craggy hillside. Though the moss is bare, they have planted thorn trees for my pleasure here and there. Is any man so daring as to dig up in spite? He shall find their sharpest thorns in his bed at night. Up on the Eyrie Mountain, down the rushing glen, we daren't go hunting for fear of little men. We folk, good folk, trooping all together, green jacket, red cap, and white old feather.
And Mary, why did you pick that poem?
Why did I pick it? I'll tell you now. When I was growing up, my mum used to, you know, read us lots of poetry. Mm-hmm. And my sister was named Bridget. And she made a little poem about Bridget. Oh. And they're both passed away now. And it's nice to dedicate it to those.
Excellent. And I'm sure to be very happy with
that. Yeah, yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much for sharing it, Mary.
Okay. Thank you, Pia.
Thank you.
Harper's Helmet, written by the O'Connor brothers in Chicamark, Kilsarka. Good people, all both great and small, now listen unto me, while I relate of recent days another tragedy. I claim your kind attention to this murder I have penned down, which took place in the county of Kerry and near Castle Island town. It was on the day, the 30th day of March, in the year of 82. This lesson light, which caused me right, shone round to all men's views. A landlord who lived near the place was coming home from town, where he sat at pretty sessions representing the crown, who knows that bad, and claimed he was travelling just about midway home. 'Tis little he was fearing, as he was all alone. It was between five and six on a glorious afternoon. 'Tis little he was thinking his death would be so soon. And so it was for when he came to the crosses of the Sheenbourne, the richest crown brambles between the road and barn. So little he was thinking that there was an ambush there, and that the death note bell was ringing to call his soul away.
Thank you. Hello, Anne. How are you? Where are you from?
I'm from Cordell. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you have a poem for us today?
Yes, The Old Woman of the Road.
Perfect. You might read us first, so.
Yeah, okay. Oh, to have a little house, to own the hearth and stool and all, the heaped up sods against the fire, the pile of turf against the wall. To have a clock with weights and chains and pendulum swinging up and down, a dresser filled with shining delf, speckled in white and blue and brown. I could be busy all the day, clearing and sweeping hearth and floor, and fixing on their shelf again my white and blue and speckled store. I could be quiet there at night, beside the fire and by myself, sure of a bed and lord to leave the ticking clock and the shining delf. Oh, I am weary of mist and dark and roads where there's never a house nor bush, and tired I am of bog and road and the crying wind and the lonesome hush. And I am praying to God on high, and I am praying him night and day for a little house, a house of my own, out of the winds and the rain's way.
Excellent. And do you like poetry?
Yeah, but I'm not going to school now. That's funny, isn't it, for some people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And would you ever write any?
No.
Why did you pick this poem in particular?
Yeah, I suppose I learned going to school, and I liked it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's lovely that you carry on the tradition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So your name is Mary? Mary.
Mary, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's your full name?
Darley. Mary Darley. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you have a few poems for us today.
Yes. Well, I have this one anyway. It is about the ambush 100 years ago, where there was a couple of men killed. I'll read it for you. O carry men, I say again, said are my thoughts today. My heart is sore forevermore since that night at Gurtaclay, when two young men who were ill-advised were coming home from town. Sad victims fell to those hounds of hell. Remember, Laidlaw Brown. O God, it was an awful sight, that terrible tale to tell. Two neighbouring boys shot late that night, those demons left in hell. But we will bust that murdering crew in city and in town, and in them we will seek revenge, yet remember Laidlaw Brown. If I were only there that night with the boys at my command, we'd take our place without disgrace with rifles and with bombs. That hut we'd blow to fragments, those bobbies we'd shoot down, my heart is sore, I'll say no more, remember Laidlaw Brown. A long farewell to comrades dear, in Merthyr's place you stood. Your gallant deeds will be admired, and it is right they should. But we will crack that ancient foe and break their spirits down. While grass is growing and water's flowing, remember Laidlaw Brown. One word I will say to Fallon, now a renowned bloodhound peeler, who took the lives of Laidlaw Brown, a farmer and a dealer. That shot, it proved a fatal one, and that of Sergeant Biles, but there remains a Sinn Féin crowd that will conquer England's wilds. We'll send their souls to hell with all nick to dwell, till they have atonement made. May they always burn, till we have in turn satisfaction for Brown and Laid. No.
Very well read. Why did you pick this one?
It was just history. Yeah. They unveiled a memorial there a year or two ago there to them back in Gurtaclay near the post office there, where the old post office was.
I'm Nancy Broston.
Hi Nancy, I'm Kaya. You have a poem for us today, do you?
Well, it's very short. But
that's okay too.
the Lake Isle of Innisfree. I will arise and go now, and go to Innisfree, and a small cabin built there of day and wattles made. 9 beans rose will I have there, a hive for the honey bee, and live alone in the bee cloud glade. And I shall have some peace there, for peace comes dropping slow, dropping from the veil of the morning to where the cricket sings. There, midnight all a glimmer, and none a purple glow, an evening full of the phoenix wings. And I will arise and go now, for far away nights and day, I hear like water lipping with low sounds from the shore, while I stand on the roadway or on the pavement grey, I hear it in the deep at core. W.E. Waves.
Thank you. Thank you, Nancy. How long have you been coming here?
3 years, roughly, yeah.
And you come most days, or is it just once a week? Or
once a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose you like coming up here and seeing everyone.
I do, I mm-hmm. do. It's good here.
Yeah, it's lovely to get out and about.
It is.
This poem is written about Cordell, and it was written by Mickey Tommy Reddy Welsh. Reddy Welsh from Combe Cordell, and it was written before World War I. O Cordell, dear Cordell, how lovely thou art. Your beauty is planted in my selfish heart. Your high lofty mountains and fast running streams are forever entangled in my lifelong dreams. Your romantic old boreens and shady old groves, where the boys and the girls together do roam. Your green mossy wood banks and parks can be seen, where the trees are so green in the sweet month of June. There are four crosses, a dance we do hold, where many a faction fight was fought of old. Kilmorey's old schoolhouse beside the graveyard, where many a chaunt was often slapped hard. Renowned Cordell's cross, and Tob Ravine Well, where All-Ireland champion cyclists is there they do well, they dwell. The Protestant church, it stands lonely there, where all of its members unite in one prayer. The Catholic church, where we go to pray, the peal of its bell is heard far away. Three strokes at the death of a man, two strokes for a woman. Killinanima graveyard, with its church wall so grey, where the Earl of Desmond lies cold in the clay.
Lovely poem. Where did you get that from?
My collection of poems. We have a lot of collection of poems and local people that wrote poetry that have now passed on, and it's lovely to have what they wrote.
Mm-hmm,
and it's all of local parts of where we're all connected to here.
Mm-hmm. And would you read poetry a lot here?
Now and again, yeah, we would, yeah.
Yeah, it's lovely to keep that tradition, because I always felt as well, from my age group, that we weren't taking much notice of poetry anymore. Yeah. But it is very important.
And there's history in poetry. Mm-hmm. Every poem, it tells the history of the area and names of people and places. Mm-hmm. And it's there where you can learn the history of a place as well.
Mm-hmm. In a few simple words. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. What's your first name?
So, Sarah. My name's Sarah. So this is a poem about Padraig O'Keefe, who's a very famous local musician, played the violin. And this poem actually won first prize of £75 at the All-Ireland Open Ballad Contest held in Listowel during Writers' Week in 1977. So, and it's written by a man called Jay Galvin. So it's called To the Master. The nightingale may sing again, the lark caresses the air, each thrush and blackbird in that glen, yet sound as sweet and rare. That handsome stag will swim the lake and join the timid fawn. O many sweethearts, eyes awake with chorus from the dawn. Ah, when you felt young, like that wild deer you sprung, just as carefree from sorrow or grief. 'Twas that ring from the bow made it certain you'd go to sweet music of Padraig O'Keefe. When back through the glen you returned again, each sally and trout pool you knew. When the joy was all o'er, you came back to the door of the loved wayward path once he flew. With such kind heart so gay, each sweet note he'd play, for he loved Mother Nature within. 'Twas not bacon or beef, worried Padraig O'Keefe, but live notes from his chosen violin. The coot no longer reigns that glen you oft had seen at dawn. The stag will swim those lakes again and meet the lovely fawn. That handsome thrush with blackbird note sounds still as rare and true. The mountain hare sleep by that moat so well beloved by you.
Why did you pick that poem in particular?
Well, it was one of the local collection. We have a few people here from up Glowntawn who would have known Padraig O'Keefe.
Mm-hmm.
So, so it's just from the collection that we've heard from people. Oh, so
thank you for sharing with us.
No problem.
Thank you.
This is a poem about the guilty child, it's called, and it's written by Dinis Pád Brosnan, and he was a Corrie man. So it's about a girl called Mary Maguire, and she came from Corrie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very old poem as well.
Mm-hmm.
So and it's called The Guilty Child. She stood at a bar of justice, a creature vain and void, in a form too small for a woman, in features too old for a child. With a look so wan and pathetic, 'twas stamped on her young pale face, it seemed as if long years of suffering had left its silent trace. "Your name," said the judge as he eyed her, with kindly looks yet keen. "I'm Mary Maguire, if you please, sir, and your age, I'm just 16. "Well, prisoner," and then from a paper, he slowly and bravely read, "the charge on which you're brought here is stealing 3 loaves of bread. You do not look like an old offender, and the records, they have nothing to show. I hope you can prove this charge to be false. Are you guilty, yes or no?" A passionate burst of weeping was at first her sole reply, but she dried her tears in a moment and looked in the judge's eye.
Hello?
"I'll tell you how it was, sir. My father and mother, they are dead. My little brothers and sisters were hungry and asked me for bread. At first I earned it for them by working hard all day, but somehow the times grew harder and the work all fell away. I could get no more employment and the weather was bitterly cold. The little ones cried and shivered. Little Johnny was just 4 years old. So what was I to do, sir? I'm guilty, but do not condemn. I took O'Hua's its stealing, the bread to give to them. And every man in the courthouse, grey-bearded and thoughtless youths, knew as they looked at her that the prisoner told the truth. And out of their pockets sprang handkerchiefs, and out of their eyes rolled tears, and out of old faded wallets came treasures they had hoarded for years. The judge's face was spellbound, the strangest you ever saw, as he cleared his throat and muttered something about the law. And nobody blamed him or wondered when he looked at her and said, the sentence of this young prisoner is for the moment deferred. And nobody blamed him or wondered when he went to her and smiled and gently led her from the courthouse himself, the little guilty child.
What does that poem mean to you?
I think it just tells of the way things were long ago and how hard it was for a lot of people growing up, and especially in hard times where there was a lot of TB and sickness and things long ago, and a lot of children were left without their parents. Mm-hmm. So,
Mary O'Hanlon.
Mary.
I got it clear. I'm a foolish one, but there are something about the religion, and all I know about Edinburgh Hospital was the hospital for TB, you see, long ago, and they were all young in my time, you know, and it was very sad. The funerals were passing up the school and that, and there was this patient, and he wrote a poem, and I had it up my hat, but it's gone. I've not in my head, but that's gone. But I have a small bit of it.
Yeah, do you want to share a small bit?
I have a small bit, yeah. My parents have told me I'd one day regret my youthful and airy carrying, but I scoffed at their warning. I think but yet, I gave them no hearing. I gave them no hearing. As soon I'll be with the grass growing o'er me, alone and quiet and asleep peacefully, with my friends who are gone to their graves long before me, in that lone little grave in Arfert by the sea. There's a dear little spot where with pleasure is childhood, with small friends I wander so happy and free, when fragrant wild flowers were in bloom in the wild wood round my old cottage home in Arfert by the sea. To the long summer day when bright sun was shining, how oft we played in the haunt hall tree in a gay noisy group till the eve was declining on those green mossy banks in Arfert by the sea. Then the years stole away with our innocent pleasure. We were boys as no longer we children could be. We drank from the cup full of life's jolly measure and the dances and sport in our fair by the sea. But now there are changes, the places seem so lonely. These bright, happy faces no more can I see, and the kind-hearted parents that reared me so fondly are asleep in their graves in our fair by the sea. Through the long winter nights, we were dancing and singing. Round the old kitchen floor, we were wheeling in glee, and the notes of a jig were so cheerily ringing in my old cottage home in Arfert by the sea. So far distant chimes, many friends have departed, and others lie cold in their small 6x3. I am weary, I am sad, I am nigh broken hearted. I can meet them no more in Arfert by the sea. And soon we will be the grass growing over me, I had that. So silent and cold and asleep peacefully, with my friends who have gone to their grave long before me, in that ancient home, our fair by the sea. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Can I say,
why do you like that poem so much?
I got from reading it, but I had that from this patient wrote in Edinburgh. And I did have it at home because my young lads done away with me, because I do keep things ancient. And when I went and looked at it, I got a few verses came to my head, and I gave them to Rita. But she went for a fourth. I thought she was reneging me. And thank you, Rita. I'll have to get a copy of that. I love that.
Yeah, it was.
But
excellent.
Can I say, I have a foot. You see, she gave me one here now to read. But
the turf buyers.
I know, but I have understood that in my head. And to make up for the time that it's, I'll get with your mom on my own, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right,
mm-hmm.
If you don't mind.
When you're ready.
Right. I remember the house where I was born. The little windows when the sun came peeping in at morn. It never came a wink too soon, nor brought too long a day. Now I wait and wish the night had borne my bread away. I remember when I was a boy, and I changed, when I was a boy, I used to tree between the top of a close against the sky. It was just a childish memory, but now it's little joy to think I'm further off from heaven than when I was a boy. Now, you want to see fish? That's what. Three little fish went out to swim upon the summer day. They swam in and out and round about, and right well pleased were they. We might well have a jolly one. And right well pleased were they. They swam in and out and round about. Right well pleased were they. At night they saw the sun go right behind the crocus by it. Let's hurry home, they said, and get a bed before the world in the fire. Do you want to shut it? Do you want another one?
Go on, so.
I have a little shadow. He goes in and out with me. And what can be the use of him? The more than I can see. He's very, very like me. He's up to the head. And he jumps in before me when I jump into his bed. And morning very early, before the sun is up, I'm short, Isra. I walk upon the shining dew and every but the cup. But my lazy little shadow, like a non-sleepy head, has stayed at home behind me and was fast asleep a bit. And one, do I want Mike? You don't? No. All right. That's in my silver collar then. Tell me not in mournful numbers. Tell me not in mournful numbers. Life is but an empty dream. For the soul is dead, the slumbers. Things are not what they seem. Life is real, life is honest. The grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, the dust returns. Was not spoken of the soul. You all right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Do you like reading and singing poems?
Oh, I love reading, yeah, because it, honestly, I wasn't a real scholar. I'm Irish, but the Irish got in my nerve. They couldn't teach me Irish, so I had to do something.
And how's that working out for you?
I was at Latin, but then Irish. We speak Kilper Irish, and it couldn't get into my head. And I have an Irish beat. By God, I bought an Irish beat. Ah, that's it, Joe. Then he poor little... Shinny Nora, Shinny Sean, Bukal Dubok, Colin Bond, Ta Nora Gora, Gola Tay, Ta Pusser Sean, it's Pusser A. I'll lap it anyway. Only discrimination gives the buyer, poor little buyer, he was fair and he was pussy. Anyway. Excellent. Sorry, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary. Thank
all
you
right,
so much.
All right.